join in.
I'm not jealous that I couldn't join in. I could have joined in, but I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No, that's just jealousy. You couldn't join in.
Nope.
So you're jealous.
Nope. Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Whatever.
All right.
Deny it all you want.
I will deny everything.
Deny, deny, deny.
Hey, did you know that the people at Hasbro were very disappointed in the Masters Universe movie?
I couldn't imagine why.
I wasn't disappointed in that movie.
And the best part was when they saw it, they all left thinking, I don't remember seeing any of the stuff from the show in there.
Well, yeah.
Why are they on Earth? And who's the hairy little guy?
That was the only real weird one. Why they added a different character to it.
Yeah.
Everything else I liked.
You know what I didn't know, though, before watching that documentary?
That chick's serious. The same chick from Friends?
No, I knew that.
Oh. Knew that.
Yeah, I knew that already.
Yeah.
No, what I didn't the same realize chick is...
from a Bruce Springsteen video?
What? So did he, like, bring her up on stage?
And dance with her?
No,
that... That was impromptu? I thought that was impromptu.
Yeah.
She's happened to be in the crowd. Yeah, you look good. Get up here.
Oh, that sounded...
It's how he talks. That Bruce Springsteen talks. No, but when Eric was talking about the creation of She-Ra along with He-Man,
yes,
I thought it was just another group of the guys who made He-Man make She-Ra. It wasn't.
No,
it was the Barbie people.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
That's what he explained.
Yeah, well, Eric doesn't explain things very well because he missed so much detail.
I understood it like that.
I also stopped listening to him after a while because he tends to say the same thing multiple times in a row. But yeah, if you get it, Mike, if you get a chance to watch that, The Toys That Made Us, that four-part one, it's really good.
It is really
good. Keep hearing it's fantastic.
It's a weird glimpse into the toys that literally made us, like when we were growing, like especially Joe and I, because we're a wee bit older than you. But like knowing wee bit. But it's funny to see them talk about it, but also to hear the amount of money those toys made.
Oh, seriously,
dude! At its high point in 1985, I think it was He-Man. Just the He-Man line. Made $245 million.
I mean, toys don't do that kind of business anymore.
No, not at all.
Because it's all like digital shit.
All garbage shit.
Video games and stuff like that now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's such, like, that's why toy stores don't really exist. And that's why Toys R Us is like shutting down half their fucking stores because toys aren't a thing anymore. They just aren't. So also, I mean, it's funny because speaking of that, it wasn't in the documentary, but there was another thing. I was reading this article about Toys R Us shutting down and talking to one of their financial officers, like why they think that they're shutting down is because Happy Meals don't have traditional toys on anymore. I was like, wait, what?
Don't they?
I was like,
what do you mean traditional toys?
But I was like, but what does McDonald's have to do with Toys R Us shutting down?
That too.
And it's because for some strange reason, the toys that are in McDonald's Happy Meals lead to trends of toys bought in toy stores. And because they don't have traditional toys in them anymore, they're not like action figures or anything like that. They're just these little plastic pieces of shit or little puzzles or whatever they give them. The kids don't want them, so they don't look at toy stores for more stuff.
I suppose I can see what you're saying because I remember back in the
cars.
Day,
yeah, yep, you'd go you, and be like, oh,
I wanted a car, so where do you go to get more cars?
Yeah, you go to Toys R Us. Yeah.
Exactly. You go to a toy store, right? Well, if they're not giving those anymore because they want to give them general neutral toys that are supposed to spark their intellect, a car doesn't do that apparently.
Yeah, but there's a like robot. The imagination
is
what sparks your intellect.
Yeah,
but
so.
That just leads back to the question, what does McDonald's give out now?
They give out little like mind, like little like solid plastic toys and like little puzzles and shit like that.
Really?
Yeah, little plushes and stuff. They don't really give out like action figures or Barbies anymore.
Seems dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was like, that was a really weird thing. That he's like, yeah, it's like that's a natural transition. And like he said, back in the day when Beanie Babies were a big thing, obviously they were a huge thing in the. Or the mid,
you remember
late
people
90s.
Were like, these are going to be worth so much someday.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
I still remember that that article about that couple that got divorced, and in the divorce, they had to split the Beanie Babies up, so they're in court just splitting them up. Hilarious.
But he said in that same thing is when that fell flat, it's because McDonald's stopped carrying them. And I was like, what the fuck is McDonald's have to do with any of this? And it's because, I guess, with the Beanie Babies, McDonald's had like special ones they had, but it would be the beginning of a new set that was coming out. So you'd go to McDonald's, get that one, and in the little package would be the other ones coming up. And so you know what you're going. I was like, then it dawned on me, oh shit, that's before the mass internet was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how you found out what was coming out is
what you
some of the
look for.
Yeah, right? I was like, holy shit, that's so insane. Like how much. You don't think about that. You think McDonald's like, oh, the leader in fast food industry, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like they set the trend for collectibles all the time. I was like, what the hell,
I think of dollar double cheeseburgers that are
dollar double cheeseburgers,
well,
y'all.
You do now, but I mean, going back in
I think of their $1, $3, $5, and $11 menus or whatever that thing is.
Yeah, right? Or dollar whatever. Drinks, no matter what size you get.
Which makes no sense.
Which, yeah.
Why wouldn't you
get
the biggest
one? Why
would
I order a medium? Why would I fucking order a medium?
If you're going to do that, large, do this. It's a dollar for any size drink. What size do you have? Large?
Nah, don't sell the other sizes.
Just give everyone a large one.
I totally forgot about that the last time I was at McDonald's, which was just picking up a coffee and some...
And a croissant?
Croissant?
No, the...
a McCroissant?
Sausage. The sausage McMuffins with egg. And I just ordered a medium coffee, and it came out to a dollar, you know, something plus the other stuff. And I pulled through, and I was like, shit, I just spent a dollar on a medium. I could have got the large for a dollar.
For a dollar.
Yeah.
Speaking of for a dollar, comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody.
We're like that movie. It starts the fucking title sequence 4 hours into it and shit.
Star Wars? We're like Star Wars?
Yeah.
That's right away. Yeah. Like they do theirs right away.
They don't do title sequences at the beginning.
Well, they do the word crawl.
They do the word crawl, yeah. But that's not a title sequence.
Well, it's a little different than what we did. Same. We didn't do the word crawl first. Speaking of word crawls, actually, surprise segment, Mike's Wrestling Minute. Let's talk about some Royal Rumble, shall we?
Okay.
That was a surprise that I wanted to bring up.
Was it?
Got you on your toes.
I'm on my toes, man.
Yeah.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Hey, be careful.
He is on his toes. I see it.
Don't be on your toes too long. You're not a ballerina?
That's that a good we one. Know of.
I'm almost going to guess he's not a ballerina. No offense.
You can take your last dollar to the bank on that one.
You can take your last daughter to the bank.
You can take your last
daughter
the bank.
To the bank.
Why
like
would you?
Back in the day.
That's a saying.
You can get a cow and a
I'm not sure if that's
chunk
a saying.
Of
land. It is now.
That's how they used to do it, right?
No, Mike. That's not how they used to do it. Anyways, Royal Rumble. What's,
what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Royal Rumble or you want to start off with NXT?
NXT. Some wrestling. Mike's right. Wrestling Minute. Go.
So, this is going to be a lot longer than a minute because we got a lot of shit to cover.
Nope, it's a minute. Just don't time it.
No timing.
We get to determine how long a minute is.
So, if you're familiar with WWE programming, you're probably familiar with the fact that the big four pay-per-views usually or do get a NXT event before the night before now, either in the same venue or somewhere in that town. So, Royal Rumble being one of the big fours, you had NXT TakeOver the night before, which was tremendous.
Tremendous, he says.
Main thing you want to talk about on that one, there's two matches that stand out. Aleister Overeem. Holy shit. Aleister Black. UFC there for a second. And
someone stroked
Adam
out
Cole,
in the middle of a podcast. Yeah,
had a street fight. So
was
no
it in
holds
the street?
Barred. Nah, just a
horse shit.
No DQ fight. And
it's a fight.
Also, it has to be pinned? Pinned or submission,
yeah,
right?
Pinned or submission, but no rules other than that.
Fish hooks. Eye gouging.
Tables, chairs.
Ball kicking.
Kendo sticks. Ball kicking.
I don't care who says anything. That shit still looks like it hurts. I know
sure
they're like fake breakaway ones, but
tell by their back after they get lit up that shit hurts because that stays with them for a couple days. That match was phenomenal. NXT, they tend to let NXT push the envelope a little bit more than they do in the WWE, especially for the specialty matches like ladder matches and no DQ matches. And I think it's got to have something to do with the fact that WWE has all the sponsorship money, so they got to keep that more rated PG.
Well, that's your main talent. I
yeah.
The other guys, you know,
but
are more expendable.
Yeah, NXT, man, they let them do whatever the fuck. So those guys beat the shit out of each other for a good long while. Who got the win? Black got the win.
Yeah, he did.
But
Black Mask.
Adam Cole. Yeah, dude, a gnarly one too.
Always.
Adam Cole, a hell of a. Of a moment for him. Like, yeah. This is one of those matches where, like,
he's newish, right?
To WWE. He's been indie.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we don't care about that.
Years.
Nobody cares about that here.
Ring of Honor champion, part of the Bullet Club.
Ring of Honor? I don't know.
What is that?
Why making shit up, Mike?
I'm just really good at wrestling stuff. Let's fact check it. But that was one of those matches where, like, it doesn't really matter who won or lost. Like, I think for Aleister's Black, his career. His like,
trajectory
right now, it was right for him to get the W. Adam Cole, I think, is going to be fine. He's got the group. He's got the Undisputed Era behind him. He's got more different things going on. He could transition a lot easier to anywhere else. But that match was phenomenal. And they, like I said, they beat the fuck out of each other, and they both got real bloody, too, at one point, which was really weird. You haven't seen it in WWE that often because they stop matches now and fix cuts during the match because of the PG and everything like that. So it felt attitude error-esque to have that much violence going on in a match. So it was really cool. And then the main event.
Main event?
Johnny Gargano going up against Andre.
Agassi. Giant.
First off.
I'm spacing on his name.
Just Andre.
Fuck, dude.
Yep.
Look it up.
Okay.
I can't. I'm spacing. I'm just.
Hold,
my
please.
Mind went blank.
Hold, please.
Anyway, the NXT champion defending his title against Johnny Gargano. We're just holding.
Keep talking.
We're in a holding.
It's not Agassi?
No,
it's not Agassi.
Tennis match, you some bitch.
You some bitch.
this match was phenomenal.
Cien Almos.
Andre Cien Almos. There okay. we go. Jesus Christ. This match was fantastic. This was one of those matches.
He's the champion?
Yeah, he beat McIntyre at the last one.
Really?
Yeah, McIntyre.
Like, oh, last takeover?
Arm. Yeah.
Broke his arm or broke his
arm? No, broke his arm. Like, fucked up his arm during the match. Yeah.
Not my Scottish Knights.
I don't know if it was, like, his elbow or something, but he's casted up and he's out for a little while.
Oh, shit.
Which, that lamp gave up on life just now.
Did it?
Yeah. I watched it.
It's taking a nap.
I watched it.
Yeah, a permanent nap.
This is like a little tiny robot. It was just... No, this match was incredible. If anybody watches NXT, Johnny Gargano is the fucking best, dude. Like, he's the ultimate babyface. He's the ultimate underdog.
He was an amazing tag team until he got betrayed.
That came back to play a little bit.
Yeah?
Some bitch. Tommaso Ciampa. Bastard.
I'd beat his ass.
All
three of us. Versus him.
We're gonna win
with bats and guns.
Okay. All right, then I'll take that
from a distance with other people there to hold him down while he's in a coma.
Cien Almos is a
with broken legs,
a lucha libre wrestler with like a hell of a pedigree behind him. He's like a third generation wrestler.
Yeah, which by the way, I did not know. I was just a flashy dude, but he's legit. He's royalty.
Yeah, his family is big and huge in Mexico. Like, he's a giant star in Mexico, which I really didn't know because I don't know much about the lucha libre stuff.
Yeah,
but he's like over the top over in Mexico, and he's getting there in NXT now too. Like, he's a hell of a wrestler. But again, Johnny Gargano, there's something about a Johnny Gargano match. If they let him go and let him tell the stories the way the stories, because he's a smaller guy, so he's naturally going to be the underdog 90% of the time in these big, you know, match, big fight match kind of things. And there's no one better, NXT or main roster right now, than gaining the sympathy from the crowd and making a comeback and making you give a fuck about what's happening than Johnny Gargano. He's the absolute best at it. He's the best since Daniel Bryan, and he's right up there with Daniel Bryan in terms of being able to gain that sympathy from the crowd and put on a hell of a match and tell a great story. Like, he's got an innate ability to make you feel... make the story come through, which it doesn't happen a lot anymore. That's why it's so special when it does. But Johnny Gargano ended up coming up short, which I really thought that was the time to put the title on him, because that fucking crowd was so ready for that building to explode if he got the three count at any point. Uh-huh. But this match had the most false finishes that I remember ever, dude. There's a couple times where I thought for sure, I was like, this is it. They've been going for like 20 minutes. Andre is almost getting the win here. Nope. Gargano's definitely got to get the win here. Nope. Almost getting the win here. Nope. Gargano's definitely getting the... Nope. Like, multiple times for each of them. But that match was amazing. And even if you went on Twitter afterwards, there were people saying, like, those wrestling website people and the people who, like, review shit and the insiders or whatever were saying, like, it's going to be hard for any match for the rest of the year to beat that as match of the year. Wow. Like yeah, they... Some people... Yeah. That's in January. Because, and they're saying... You still got Mania coming up. You still got, you know what I mean? Like,
I was like, we got another
Wrestle Kingdom. Like, it's for them to say that, and a lot of people were saying that, like, they just don't see how another match could overtake that as match of the year. Mm-hmm. And the crowd was a big reason why, too. Obviously, the crowd can make or break, can make a great match epic, you know, or make a great match. Depending on how the crowd is. But that match was phenomenal. And then the next night, we have the Royal Rumble, which, full disclosure, I started very late, and I had to work very early the next morning. I've been busy. So I have not watched the Women's Royal Rumble yet, which I'm excited to watch. I read all the spoilers about it. I know who won, but I did think it was very cool that they actually put them on the main event spot. They went on last, which was the right thing to do, especially for the first one. You don't always have to do that, but I think it was important, and it was the right decision to make sure they're on last this time. But I will talk about what we did see. Who was it first? It was Sami Zayn and KO versus AJ first, which was a fine match, but you kind of knew that, like, no one's changing belts right here this close to Mania. Like, yeah. It just doesn't – the way the storyline's been going, you kind of figured you knew what was going to happen. But it was fun. You saw the Usos versus Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. Usos retained their tag team titles. And then I think you went into the first Rumble match, the men's Rumble match, which I'll say was the best Royal Rumble match that I can remember in recent memory. I've watched them all at some point.
Yeah. Which was the first fight? AJ Kevin Owen and Sami Zayn.
Okay. 2-on-1 handicap.
There was three matches before that. There was prelim fights.
Oh, prelim. Especially if I start late, I can't get
Bobby Roode was part of a prelim fight. They brought him up to be big dog now.
He's the US champ. There's a lot going on. You got two Rumble matches. You know that shit's going to take an hour each.
Yeah,
men's
and women's, yeah, that's true.
45 minutes at the absolute minimum, you know? But like I said, I've seen at some point every single Royal Rumble, and I'm not going to say it was the best Royal Rumble ever, because there's some really, really good ones from way back, like the Ric Flair for the title one, or Rock over Big Show, or the first Stone Cold one were all fantastic. But this one is the best one I can remember in recent memory, and I'm willing to bet it's going to hold up over the test of time as one of the better ones ever. This was the first time recently where it gave you one Shinsuke Nakamura one, which is a huge deal, because you're at this point with Shinsuke, you're starting to get the impression that maybe the company doesn't believe in him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the position hasn't been great. He hasn't been booked well. He hasn't been winning. Like, I thought for sure by now he'd win some type of title. He hasn't. You're like, oh, he's not really getting big matches on TV. So you're kind of worried about what the company thinks, and it kind of boils down to Vince. Vince doesn't like you. Vince isn't going to put his titles on you, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes people sense, get shitty about it, but he's got a pretty good track record. So yeah. I kind of get it. Finn Balor was the MVP, because he started at number two against Rusev, which Rusev is so fucking over right now with the crowd, with that whole Rusev Day thing and everything that he's doing right now. The crowd loves him, and they booed so fucking hard when he got eliminated
by Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, no less.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy are in their feud, and they had like this interesting this Rumble, because not only because of the action in it and because of who won. The Rumble is supposed to set up storylines for Mania, and it did that very well.
Yeah, I just saw who got Bray Wyatt out of the ring.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah. So, like, you have that Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt thing going forward. You got John Cena versus Elias going forward. Rusev had a good showing.
Wow, Finn Balor went out early, huh?
No, late.
Late. I looked the wrong one.
Like he lasted Rhino went first. Yeah,
he lasted. He was 27th. Yeah. Followed by Cena.
Yeah, Cena. So what it came down to, it had this. Oh, and your dude Rey Mysterio.
Oh, he showed up. That was amazing.
And looked in fucking tremendous shape.
What?
Like he looked better than I've ever seen him. He was fucking amazing when he came out.
One of my favorite back in the day.
I can't remember who posted it on Instagram, but I saw his entrance where he comes out all fucking just ready to his mask out and jumps in like the Spider-Man pose. I was like,
yeah,
Rey Mysterio,
dude. When that music hit Philly, and Philly's a great wrestling crowd anyway, they lost their shit. He comes running down, and you see him, and when he left the WWE, there had been rumors that he was like having weight issues and stuff. Like he ballooned up a little bit, started wrestling with like a shirt on and stuff because he wasn't all cut up anymore. And he's been wrestling indie spots here and there on like bigger indie shows. But he came out. It's the best physically I've seen him look. And he went hard for about 20 minutes in that match, and he was nonstop. It was like classic Rey Mysterio. I didn't know he still had that level in him.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was amazing. That was fantastic. So it came. The final six had this really cool old school, new school vibe where it was John Cena, Randy Orton, and Rey Mysterio. And across from them, it was Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, and... Fuck, you remember? Do you have it right there?
I'm looking. I'm trying to see who was.
It was a newer guy.
Trying to see who else was up there. There's John Cena, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, Roman Reigns. Man, he threw four people out the ring.
Yeah,
he was handling business. He's the most.
Yeah, it must have been Roman.
Yeah, had been Roman. Yeah. Been, oh yeah, because Shinsuke got him out.
Yeah. So it was like. New school versus old school a little bit, like the older guys and the guys towards the end of their career. And it was a really neat moment seeing the three versus the three. And then it turned into Finn, Shinsuke, John Cena, and Roman Reigns. And the crowd was not gonna handle Roman or Cena. John Cena winning this fucking Rumble.
Like, that fucking building
they down. Were booing them so hard. So after the six faced off, it kind of turned into Cena versus Roman, and the crowd was giving them "you both suck" chants and booing both of them, you know. And they went back and forth and kind of took each other out—not out of the ring, but out.
Cesaro got Apollo out.
Yeah,
really.
Cesaro's bad man. And then after those two had their face off, Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura had their face off, and the crowd went apeshit. They loved it. Then Cena eliminates Finn Balor, and the crowd boos their fucking mind. Like, they were so pissed. And he'd been in since number two. He'd been in there for almost an hour at this point, like 57 minutes or something like that.
57 minutes, 38 seconds.
So, a long time. Like, he was, like I said, the MVP of this match because he had amazing moments all throughout. And he was going pretty consistently the whole time. And then
Sheamus got eliminated in 20 seconds.
Yeah, really quick. It was to set up a... Heath Slater thing, which watch it, it's lots of cool little stories in this Rumble. Mm-hmm. That's why it was so great. But they had once Finn Balor got eliminated, and like as it was going on, I like Jen asked me who I wanted to win. I was like, ideally, it'd be Finn Balor or Shinsuke. It would be like my picks to they need it the most at this point.
Mm-hmm. Guess what happened?
Shinsuke Nakamura won.
Oh, nice.
Eliminated John Cena for the win.
Yeah, nice. So Cena got Roman out. So it turned into Shinsuke versus Cena. and they had a cool back and forth, and it looked like Cena was going to win, but I guarantee you that after Finn Balor got eliminated, and you saw Roman and John Cena both staring at Shinsuke, and you the crowd just like they could see it coming, and they just didn't want any fucking part of it, and they were so fucking pissed. And to like kind of give history to this, a few years ago when Roman Reigns run it, he won it in Philly, and it's the most upset I've ever heard a crowd after a pay-per-view.
Nice.
They booed the shit out of him so fucking hard, even with The Rock in the ring with them.
Which does, and they still makes no sense to me.
Cousins.
Well, no. They hate him so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't make it. They, internet fans, like the hardcore wrestling nerds, like myself, but the extremist of them, hate Roman Reigns because they think Roman Reigns is being pushed down their throats. Like, have to watch. I'm like, dude, he's really good. Like, he doesn't have bad pay-per-view matches. Like, this is what happens. The big dudes, the charismatic dudes, the good-looking guys who could put on good matches, they're the top guys.
Right.
John Cena was that for the last 10 years. Roman's going to be this for the next 5 to 8 years, you know?
If they get their way, they will. But, man, those fans hate him.
But he fucking sells out arenas, and he sells merchandise.
They love to hate him.
Yeah, and kids love him, and that's the biggest thing, because they're the ones who buy things.
He's a giant teddy bear.
But
who will break you in half?
So Philly was having flashbacks to Roman Reigns winning, and they didn't want that shit again. And they really no reason for John Cena to win because like he doesn't need this W.
Yeah,
but it get enough because of the current situation. The next time John Cena wins a title, he'll break Ric Flair's record for most titles.
Oh wow!
So you're like as a like a hardcore wrestling fan, I'm sitting there thinking like, fuck, it would be the easiest way to get him in the title picture for Mania, mm-hmm. and have Cena before he calls it a career, which he's, you know, said publicly he's at the end of it. You know he's gonna get one more title reign to beat Flair.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, they might really let him win this match, and this crowd's gonna be super pissed. But Shinsuke Nakamura ended up getting the W, and immediately after the match, they interview him because it was you don't have to challenge the champion of your show. It was made clear during the show that you get to pick what champion you go against. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar being the one on Raw, AJ Styles being the one on SmackDown, and he said AJ Styles. That's all he said in the post-game. And AJ Styles versus Nakamura, for the hardcore wrestling fans, they know when New Japan, when they were both the two top dogs in New Japan, they headlined a Wrestle Kingdom and completely tore the building down. Like, it was one of their best matches ever. And I like how they haven't really let these two fight since they've both been in the WWE.
Is that going to be Mania?
They teased it a few times, but as of right now, that's going to be the first time they have their one-on-one matches at Mania for the title, which is absolutely the right thing to do.
Nice.
So that was fantastic. Like I said, one of the best Royal Rumbles I can remember. After that, like a tag team match, I think the Bar got their belts back. Not a big deal. Doesn't matter. Then you get to the big triple threat match. Kane versus Braun.
Who's the Bar?
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Okay. Against Seth Rollins and whoever Jason Jordan is?
Jason Jordan's like a replacement for Dean Ambrose when he broke his elbow or fucked his elbow up.
Then we got our three-way match.
Yeah, so we got Brock versus Braun versus Kane, which another bummer part about this is everyone kind of knew Brock's going into Mania as the champion. And I don't care if Brock's a part-time wrestler because he's a big main event attraction. Like, I get that. And I kind of like the fact that he's not always on the show because it makes it feel special when he's there. But it's like, if you know who's going to win, it kind of takes a lot of the fun out of the match. Luckily, we got Braun Strowman fucking up a little bit and need Brock Lesnar in the face really fucking like hard.
Legit need in the face.
And pissed Brock so much that he popped right up to his feet, hit him once in the stomach, that bent him over, and then punched him right in the side of the fucking head.
Which really is the only way he was able to reach his head.
Ron's a big motherfucker.
Yeah, he is.
And it literally dropped him to both knees. And the audio cut out, which I was telling you guys, I thought it was just a streaming issue because I'm streaming it. Turns out, no, it was on a delay, and WWE cut it out because Brock Lesnar yelled to Roman, or to Braun, to slow the fuck down after he almost knocked his fucking head off, which was a cool moment. And it's good that you kind of look up and read the reports. There's no backstage issues with them. Like, they actually get along really well. And it was just Braun fucked up. Lesnar got probably a little bit more mad than he should have, but gave him what the business they call receipt. If you get stiffed, you're supposed to give one back, and Lesnar definitely got his receipt back.
He gave him a carbon copy for sure.
Yeah, and
a ticket punched.
And then the rest of the match is kind of exactly
ticket punched.
Yeah, I like it.
Clock clean.
The rest of the match was kind of exactly what you expected. Fucking big spots, table spots, Braun fucking shit up, and then Brock Lesnar pinning Kane. Not a lot to it, but it was a good filler match. And then the one match I didn't watch was the historic 30 woman Royal Rumble, first time an all woman Royal Rumble, which I read the spoilers on, which was cool. I can't talk much to the match. I know they had a lot of female wrestling legends come back for this match. I'm looking
at the list right now. Yeah,
they had people like Lita, Trish Stratus, Molly Holly, Beth Phoenix. They all came back and had a spot in this match, which was really, really cool, and I'm excited to watch it. And but the right person won this one. Asuka won.
She did win. Nice.
Which is, Asuka is still 100% undefeated from NXT to here, and they need to keep it going like that.
Nikki Bella handled some business, huh?
Yeah, they. I don't like Nikki Bella as a wrestler, like, at all. And I understand, like, the star power that she has, but she is not a great wrestler. She, granted, over the past 2 years of her career, her active wrestling career, she got much, much better. But still not the level of, like, a Charlotte or Sasha or Bayley or fucking Becky
Lynch. Sasha lasted 54 minutes in there. She was number one in the ring, too.
Yeah, wow. She a good showing. But Asuka ended up winning. And it's a big deal. She hasn't actually picked her opponent yet.
Nia Jax, of course, gets eliminated by 47 different people.
Yeah. Because, well, she's
a giant
big show of the women's division. You know what I mean? Like, she has to.
Asuka, Bayley, Brie Bella, Natalya, Nikki Bella, and Trisha Stratus all teamed up to get her out of the ring.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to have to go home and watch just this match. Well, yeah. and the
you got to watch the first one. It's so good.
Yeah.
But the big news, which was kind of, I think, kind of bummer that they did it on this show, because I really thought Asuka deserved that moment as being the first ever Women's Royal Rumble winner.
Should have been something during like a event during SmackDown or something.
Yeah.
And that seems like what a lot of people were echoing.
Right after that happens, you hear this music hit, and it's Ronda Rousey. So the long-awaited rumors of her joining the WWE confirmed. She is a full-time WWE wrestler at this point. Mm-hmm. And I guess she's been having secret training sessions at the Performance Center to get her in
wrestling shape. Wrestling,
yeah.
Not such condition, but to, like, teach her how to... Like, she's a phenomenal athlete.
Shape, you know what I mean?
So the shape is... Like, her cardio and conditioning is there, but she's got to get used to doing it in a ring, because it is different than an actual real fight.
Because you're not actually punching people.
Yeah, and it's more go, go, go. And you have to be able to remember and think while you're, you know, it's not just autopilot and knocking somebody out. So she comes out, tries to shake Asuka's hand, and Asuka does what I think is the coolest thing she could have done, is slap her hand away, which I was like, thank you, Asuka. That's exactly what your character needs to be right here. She points to the WrestleMania sign, which is an overplayed thing. See, we don't know what Ronda is yet. Because Ronda just got announced, and the crowd lost their shit because it was Ronda Rousey. Yeah. But we don't know.
In a Piper shirt.
Yeah. A Ronda shirt.
Well, yeah, but it's a Piper shirt.
Yeah. And Piper's jacket, too, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a cool little story. Roddy Piper's son gave Ronda Rousey one of his old leather jackets to wear to the ring, and gave him permission to use the nickname Rowdy, which was Rowdy Piper's. Rowdy Piper.
I didn't even think about that.
So she's going by Rowdy Ronda, which is pretty cool. And the fact that she got the blessing from the family, from Colt, who's Roddy Piper's son, and they were very close. So it's not just, we'll give you the okay. Like,
he do this.
Yeah, like cult Rowdy tombs.
Ronda Rousey, that's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
I thought about that.
So it was pretty cool that she kind of has that built-in gimmick already.
Hope she goes pirate soon. So it's just arr.
So yeah, we don't know who Asuka is facing.
He's got it,
but. Oh. But if I had to guess, this is what I'm guessing is going to happen. I'm guessing it's going to be Asuka versus Alexa Bliss, which would be a great match because I really think they want Ronda versus Charlotte Flair.
Oh, dang.
Which I want Asuka versus Charlotte Flair.
I do,
that's
too.
As the wrestling fan, that's the best wrestling match right now. But the big money match is Ronda's, what I'm guessing is going to be her debut match. I'm guessing she'll get physical on TV from now until then, but I don't think she's going to have an actual match. And
until Mania?
I think.
Really?
If I had to guess.
Am I going to build anything up other than just
get physical, but no actual real sanctioned match. I think they'll.
So she's going to be like maybe interrupting matches.
Interrupting.
Oh, that's what we'll learn if she's a heel or a.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. A healer of
so,
face?
Yeah, healer of face. Because Alexa Bliss is full-blown heel mode right now. Asuka's a face. Charlotte's a face right now.
Yeah, she's back at being a face, though.
Yeah, but she, I mean, a lot can happen.
But both those two are like very like close to being heels and just in general. Yeah.
Yeah, so they could flop it anyway. And they've both, all three of them been heel and face, so they can go either way. But like I said, if I had to put money on it, I would guess WWE wants Ronda versus Charlotte Flair as one of... if not the main event?
For Mania?
Of WrestleMania?
You think?
Wow. I think that could be the main event.
2018, the year of the ladies?
Yeah, man.
It'd be cool, but you think it just for her to come in and you already get something so big?
Yeah.
I think they'll let her win, though?
I'm saying from your perspective as a wrestling fan, wouldn't you rather see somebody more seasoned in it?
Me? Yes. 100% that's why he wants Asuka versus Flair. That's why I want Asuka versus Charlotte.
Charlotte,
I
think that's what he kept saying. Asuka,
Charlotte Flair. Oh, sorry.
You kept flipping back and forth. And
But I think...
your names, Joe.
I think they're going to want Charlotte Flair versus Ronda. And I think if they're going to main event, if women are going to main event Mania anytime soon, it'll be with a crossover athlete like Ronda who could draw in that second
crowd. Fatal four-way.
No, I don't think it's because they did that the last couple of years. They had multiple women going for the title.
Right.
Now there's two titles. Last year there wasn't. So I think this is
the ladies champion
of Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be one-on-one, and it might not main event Mania, but it's definitely going to
be one of the top ones.
It's
sure.
be the top three
yeah,
for sure.
Three, two, or top three. I don't know if it'd be one. With all that's going on, but maybe.
Yeah. So, that's a horrible finish. But it's really weird. It makes it interesting to see what's going to happen with Ronda Rousey. And like I said, Ronda Rousey has been having secret training sessions. And on Twitter, they're building up and I think it's a storyline that all the women are like, fuck this bitch. She came in here and just taking our moment. Mm-hmm. You know, like the main roster. Which is like the feelings you would expect, yes. But I think they're getting directed to tweak that shit to build it up as a storyline. I just see that being something of...
Because it's a good story.
She just walks in and takes the top spot, and she's never wrestled before. And like, granted, she was a UFC champion, and the only other UFC champion ever wrestled in the WWE is Brock Lesnar. But she's supposedly full time. Like, she's not going to be a part time act. She's going to be on the show.
She's going to be on SmackDown. She's going to be on Raw.
One of them. Yeah. Okay. And then
which one
be
think?
There? Raw.
Raw.
Raw's still the flagship. Yeah, Raw's, you know, Raw's the bigger draw. So they're probably going to keep her there. Hmm. But it'll be interesting because, like I said, I think if the women main event Mania at any point, which they're all trying to do, and they should be trying to do it. I just don't know how well that's going to come off with right now, you know, to the fans, and because fans are real shitty, and it's really not important who main events WrestleMania anymore. It used to be a big deal to go on last at Mania, but over the last couple years, the last match at Mania hasn't been the best match, you know.
Like, well, a lot of times it's usually the retiree match, right?
Yeah, so like Undertaker trumps like Undertaker is, even if he's not going on last, he's one of the main events. Yeah. You know, he's one of the biggest draws. Last year it was him and Roman. The year before that it was it Roman and Brock? No. I don't know, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But it's gonna be, you know what I mean? Like it's gonna be a lot for a Charlotte Flair and a Ronda Rousey to jump up and main event. But like I said, going on last isn't as big of a deal as it used to be. So I think they could use that as a woman as, you know, and I think they could use that as a build up too. If they announced early main eventing the show will be Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. And if they build it up right, it could be a big draw. But I think what they're doing with, I think that's where they're heading. And the reason I think that is because one, Ronda's a huge star outside of the world of wrestling. So she could bring in a lot of eyes. But then for the hardcore wrestling purist, you're probably getting AJ versus Shinsuke, which is a fucking amazing match for the title. You know, like that's the match like hardcore wrestling fans want to see. The dudes have been following them since their indie career. That's what they want to see for a title at Mania, and they're getting that. So I think they're going to sprinkle in the spectacle with Ronda versus Charlotte, and then but give like the hardcore wrestling nerds what they want with like a Shinsuke versus AJ, and they'll probably find something really, really cool for Finn Balor to do. And then whatever they have John Cena do is still going to be a big draw, and then whatever
hopefully better than last
probably
year's.
Be Roman versus Brock for the title there.
Okay.
Which nobody wants to see that
because,
but it could be nobody wants to see it, but they're going to end up enjoying it.
Yeah, because both of them put on a show.
Yeah, and the last time Roman versus Brock happened, it was amazing. It was a great match, and that's when you had the Seth Rollins run in and cash in his Money in the Bank during the match, mm-hmm. which is the first time that ever happened that way, too. So I don't think there'll be any trickery to this one. I think it's going to be a straight-up match, and Roman will probably win because I don't know what Brock Lesnar's contract situation was looking like, but I think that's what's going to happen until you get that belt on TV every night again for a while. Hmm. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. That's Mike's wrestling minute.
Minutes.
Minute. No, it's funny if you just say minute. It's like Mike's 10 second podcasts are 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
They were actually like 12 minutes long, but whatever. Yeah. Anyhow, that's Mike's wrestling minute.
Sorry. Soon, that went too long.
Soon, hopefully, to be a full-on its own thing.
You want to announce it now? I don't know when it's going to happen though, because I gotta get stuff. So I'm gonna be as Cody has already determined. He's doing the Awesome with Cody that becomes available every Wednesday morning for you guys as his own little solo spinoff. I will be doing Mike's Wrestling Minute as a full-on solo podcast. I just have to work out some logistics and get some equipment, and then I'll be all set.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's coming up soon, too.
Soonish.
Nice.
Hopefully before Mania.
Maybe that'll be the first one.
Maybe.
Maybe it'll start with a big Mania podcast.
Monday morning after WrestleMania of 2018, the debut episode of Mike's Wrestling
Mania. Mike's Monday Morning Mania.
Oh, shit.
Oh, dang. Write that shit down. We'll all forget it.
I listen to the podcast, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? Listen to this one?
This podcast, yeah.
Oh, that's funny because you asked me earlier when Aquaman comes out, and we oddly enough talked about that on this exact same show.
I forget dates. You some bitch.
You some bitch. You some bitch. You some bitch. Speaking of sons of bitches.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. Disney's live action movie. Oh. No,
Taj,
you know my normal segues, they make no sense.
Yeah.
There's a slew of live action Disney movies.
That's the new thing that they're tapping into. Since Jungle Book was so dope.
This article that I'm reading from is poorly titled because not all of these are remakes of animated classics. They have to do with animated classics. One in particular is not originally an animated classic, but we'll go over them anyways. So as I said to these guys before, I think it was before we started recording, Aladdin has finished production. So the live action remake, I guess you could say, I would say live action adaptation.
Yeah, that'd be better.
Has finished production. Yeah. Now, our finished, when I say finished production, is finished pencil filming. Again, this is incorrectly. Okay,
4 ordered. Years of visual effects.
Yeah, well, I mean, not really. It comes out next May. Not this coming May, but next
1 year of visual effects work.
They have to digitize an entire genie, so, you know.
Is he not going to be in human form?
In that? As far as I know, he's going to be animated. Probably like Big Blue Ghost.
Oh, that's fucking crazy.
But it's right.
It is right. It's better to do that than anything else. Plus, I mean, because it's Will Smith, if you make him a slave, it can be very bad, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
There you go.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
I know what you mean.
You know, the white masters.
Technically, they're not white.
Disney is. Disney's very, very white. You have Jungle Book 2 is in very early pre-production right now, mainly because Jon Favreau is busy doing The Lion King live action, which has a huge cast of its own to go through. You have everybody from Donald Glover to James Earl Jones to Seth Rogen. You have John Oliver is going to be in it. You have Keegan-Michael Key, Eric Andre. I mean, there's a lot of people going to be lending voices to that. Because, again, it's live action.
Yeah.
Air quotes. I don't know how Lion King is going to be live action, because just like Jungle Book was live action because there was one live thing in it and the rest was essentially just B-roll of live animals and then CG, because you're not going to put a kid next to an actual Bengal tiger.
Well, if you're a bunch of pussies, you know,
Disney has enough money just to get a new child. Mowgli. Rolled in another Mowgli. The tiger ate him again.
Remember fourth one already today? Jesus Christ, bring in more Mowglis.
Hey, guys, get another six-pack. We need another one to go. We're out of this real quickly. Then you have the one that I was talking about is not technically a remake of anything. It is in the lines of, if you remember how Hook was based on Peter Pan, which is an animated one.
Yes.
Christopher Robin is a live action in the vein, like, from Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
But it is, it's not like, you know, the in the same kind of vein the Hook was, I guess. He's grown up and he's become a businessman and he somehow gets tied back into the world of Winnie the Pooh. So it's just like Hook where
it's an older Pan.
Yep.
He may have forgotten about things, exactly. But like maybe his children bring it back.
Exactly. So it's not, again, it's not a remake of a animated classic. It's just a new telling of it in a different way. Just like Hook was for Peter Pan. That's what I would look at it. You have Pinocchio. You have James and the Giant Peach. You have Oliver. They have a standalone Cruella de Vil movie. They're doing a Tinkerbell live action movie. My favorite one is the just recently more announced is Sword in the Stone.
That'll be dope.
That one's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin going to be in it?
Yes. Along with The Little Mermaid.
Wasn't he in that? No.
No.
I was thinking something else. Sorry.
Yeah, you were.
Nah.
I want it.
You were thinking Home Alone.
What's his name that did King Arthur?
What's the...
Charlie Hunnam?
Was that who wrote the last King Arthur movie?
Oh, yeah, he was King Arthur in the last... Guy Ritchie? Guy Ritchie do Sword and Stone?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. R-rated Sword in the Stone. The stone is his head. Well, what's funny that you say that is, do you know who's doing the Aladdin movie, right?
Nope.
Guy Ritchie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, by the time he's done with this, he can jump right into
Sword of Stone. So when the king's guards come chasing Aladdin, they're actually going to try to kill him.
Okay.
They're going to like lop off like a pinky or something. Okay. And then Genie's is going to put it back. He's like, zimzalabim. That was actually Sword of Stone.
That actually was.
Animated magicians. So that's a pretty fun little thing. A lot of Disney stuff. Like, Disney is mass producing shit right now.
It's because they got the properties and they got the money.
Well, that's true, but also they got to crank it up because they have a full-time streaming service. They're gonna have to fill with shit. So
they're gonna be
all over that. Plus, the more the stuff they do, the live action stuff gives them opportunities for things at their parks to do with rides and revamping of stuff. Because the rumor right now is Small World is going to be redone to be Disney Small World, which is going to be all of Disney's properties done in the Small World type ride, where you'll be on a boat and you'll go through the different worlds that that make up the Disneyland franchises. And they'll have,
get to see the Avengers sing It's a Small World.
I think it's going to go through Disney's franchises, not Disney owned franchises.
Okay.
Because otherwise, you'd have a section of Indiana Jones, like, be really fucking dope.
Small World.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been on a Small World in a while.
I have.
We didn't go.
No, but the year before we went, I had been on
it. It is unsettling how creepy that ride is.
I don't think it's creepy.
It's super creepy.
It was broken when I went there last. So
was it?
Yeah.
Broken, air quotes.
Nah,
Mike's like, no. He's like, Jen, it's broken. Sorry, we can't go on it. What's the line for? They want to see the broken sign as well.
That caution tape on it.
Mike, I don't see what's so creepy about it. And I can definitely see why it's been around so long. Yes, it is a simplistic ride.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's one of the oldest.
I think it's the oldest ride still functional, right?
I think so.
It could very well be.
Yeah, I think it is. It's one of the originals.
Because Haunted House closed out, right?
No.
No, because they redid that one. It has digital effects now.
You're thinking the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Yeah, because that's the Guardians,
right? Guardians one now.
Which is rad.
Which is totally badass.
Yes, it is. We've been on it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
We've been on it. Not Mike. Mike hasn't been on it.
I have not.
Because he's a bitch-ass trick.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say something else there.
What do you think I was going to say?
Yeah, you know.
Say what was it? What were we gonna say?
I actually can't think of it.
Moving on.
Dun, dun, dun. Kevin Feige officially says that there's no actual plan for the merger between the Marvel studio and the Fox franchises.
He's
as
a
of
fucking
right now.
Liar.
The only reason why is because there's a slate of movies planned on both sides that are already well in production, if not done. But the merger nothing can really be done yet until the official merger of Disney and Fox
through. There's no official plan, but there's definitely plans in place.
He says there's no... He says they've always had contingency plans just in case they get any of the Fantastic Four or X-Men stuff back, but that's contingency plans, nothing planned ahead of time, so they don't have a spot for any of the X-Men to show up in the Avengers movies so far.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They had contingency plans for all of them for like a long time, because there was a while there where they thought they were going to get Fantastic Four back, because they were in the it's the same time they got Punisher back, is because they were working with a bunch of different people to try to get things. So they got Blade back, they got Punisher back, they got full control over Daredevil, and they were working on getting Fantastic Four, and then Fox is like, we got another idea, and then of course we all know how that happened.
The director direct it.
Go ahead and direct it, and we're going to take control away from you and edit ourselves.
Go ahead and try to make a scary movie about it. That's a cool idea. And then we're going to come in and just try to ruin it.
Yeah. Yo, we loved Chronicle.
Yeah. Yo, we love what you do with Chronicle. Can you do that with Fantastic Four and then we're going to take away from you and do what we want?
Yep.
No? Okay, cool. Deal. Wait, I said no. Nah, you said yes at first.
Nope, you already took the money. I did not. Wait, what?
Wait, why does my bank have money in it? All banks have money in it. No, but my bank. You have a bank? Well, I mean, my bank account. Anyways, let's see. What other news we got? We got a first official picture of Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. People are freaking out because the suit's not red.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, because they don't realize that the suit has to illuminate. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it, it's like a dark blue with like dark. I'll pull up the dark, like dark gold, and then like green patches. And people are like, "Why the fuck isn't it red?" It's because they're gonna CG it in. Because the suit's supposed to be very vibrant, and you can't you just don't want to put her in a suit that's just red and blue.
Yeah,
easier to digitize over a green, obviously. Hence the reason they do it that way.
Stupid.
Yes, they are. People are very dumb.
Got the Ant-Man and Wasp trailer.
We have the Ant-Man and Wasp trailer. What'd you guys think?
Nope.
Michael?
It looked really good.
Yeah, it was. Death by Pez Dispenser.
That's fantastic.
That was fantastic. He shrinks the building down and pulls the handle out and just wheels it like a fucking briefcase.
The best part about that is when they show that shot, they show the roof of the building,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually see the handle.
Yeah, but you, don't,
but you don't realize what it is until he goes over and pulls it out. I'm like, oh, fucking genius.
Right?
Fucking genius. I'm trying to pull up the Brie Larson picture.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Now, I can't find it.
Here it is.
There's a...
Yeah, that's getting...
Yeah, that's...
You can clearly see it's CG-able.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can see the markers on the suit.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are idiots. Like, it doesn't look like Captain Marvel. Motherfucker, it's called movie magic.
There are some pretty fantastic fan edits.
You think that edits. Robert Downey Jr. actually wore an Iron Man armor?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he did.
Wait, no, he didn't, Mike.
Oh.
No, he didn't.
Movie magic.
Movie magic.
Movie magic. There's a new poster for Mike's new favorite TV show.
What's Mike's new favorite TV
Krypton?
Show?
Krypton.
Yeah.
Mike and I are less friends now. let's see. Jamie Lee Curtis looks old and hot still on the set of the new Halloween movie.
She does look pretty hot still.
Does she?
All right. She's not doing bad, sir. She is not doing bad.
After this, you're going to do Collateral Damage 2. So did that because it pisses Mike off. Am I going on? Yes,
True
we know.
Lies too. You son of a bitch.
I was going to say True Lies 2. Okay.
Slug girl.
Yep. I don't know why that guy looks like Pete Holmes is behind her, but...
Is it Pete Holmes?
It's not Pete Holmes.
Oh, okay.
Jackal.
It's Jackal. Ant-Man and Wasp, now that we're actually done talking about the other stuff. What were your... Let's see. Michael, we'll start with you. Three favorite things you saw in the trailer.
The little car turned into a big car to throw the other big car.
First off, went from a big car to a little car, then back to a big car.
Little car turned into a big car.
He's got it right.
I mean, yeah, but he's just
different steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part was dope. I wasn't expecting it when I saw it. I was like, oh, it's going to get away by being small. And then it got big again and threw the other car. Yep. I was like, y'all did something good there. I like that. Let's see. I mean, the Pez dispenser was pretty funny. But like that's a gag that was kind of in the first one, but it's just with something else this time.
Instead of a
kinda cool.
Thomas the Train Engine, it's Hello Kitty Pez dispenser.
What else? The scene where Wasp is dodging the knives.
So awesome.
In air was pretty fucking amazing.
Dude, so awesome.
Maybe Ant-Man will have something cool to do in this movie too. But yeah, those were my favorite parts of the trailer.
Mike stole mine. Except that I want to... Yeah, but I want to extend the knife scene because they show the knife scene. And then they cut to her fucking up people, and then they cut to Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas, and he's like, "You gave her wings?" And he's all...
And blasters.
And blasters. He's like, "Why didn't you give me that?" That whole scene right there was fucking hilarious.
Yes.
And he's like, "I could have, but I didn't."
He's like, "I'm guessing you didn't have those when you did mine?" Oh, no, I did. I just didn't give them to you.
An ant. Doesn't make sense for an ant.
But a wasp has a sting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot happens in this very short trailer.
Dude, yeah.
You get to see a glimpse of at least two of the villains. Oh, yeah, so here's the scene,
see,
the building I was talking about.
Okay, yeah, so it looks like
air conditioning vents.
Yeah. Oddly placed air conditioning vents, yep. But then you
understand. It's like, oh, that's happens. Very large. Yeah. And then it shrinks down and he pulls the handle. I'm like, you clever bastards.
Now, speaking of that specifically, yes. Because people were talking about the... technology that's used.
Yes.
Obviously, it's all science fiction.
Of course.
But people are complaining that if the way the PIM technology works is by shrinking the space between atoms,
yep.
So it maintains the mass,
yep.
Well, then technically, shouldn't that building weigh as much as a building weighs?
But that's why it's on wheels.
No, so because Ant-Man doesn't weigh that much, he doesn't weigh as much as a human being does when he lands on something. He's equivalent
to
it because
he rides ants, so he wouldn't be that weight.
Yeah,
yeah, and but that's a lot. That's something that that a lot of people have been complaining about for Ant-Man, and especially with that scene.
Can we like just suspend disbelief for a little bit?
No, they have to put in their logic, just like how Princess Leia couldn't survive in space. First off, we don't know she's human, so we don't know if she actually needs air to live.
For the amount of time that she was in space, you can actually.
See,
survive
there you go.
In space.
That's what I'm saying. But you're putting your trap.
You're
in
a rocket brain. Scientist. This
says so true. On the shirts.
Yeah.
Which he bought.
This is true.
NASA.
I don't know. He bought it at NASA.
I think he bought it at NASA.
It's Smithsonian.
Boom. Not NASA. Go fuck yourself, Mike. How's that?
Same
Learn
same.
Lessons.
Same Mostly same. From my degree, though.
Mostly from his degree, but that's not why he bought the which shirt. He just bought lessons. The shirt because it's ironic.
It is.
Yeah.
Because he's technically a rocket scientist, just a non-working rocket scientist.
Yes.
But if he wears that, ladies be like, oh, you rocket scientist? Like, yeah, do I shoot shit in space?
Yeah.
Into space, not shoot shit in space, because that is, we don't do that yet. Anywho, the science is this. Yes, it is shrinking down, so the mass stays the same, but it's not the same. Like, the mass stays equivalent to itself in its size, not to what it was originally. So if something weighs 1,000 pounds, when you shrink it down, it's the equivalent of that size at 1,000 pounds.
So if you're 1,000 pounds and you are 1,000th the size of yourself, you would be 1,000 divided by 1,000.
Exactly.
One.
Yep.
That's how I'm gonna lose the weight, guys.
You're gonna shrink down.
Some Ant-Man stuff.
You realize what I just said is you'll be the same weight you are now, but when you're smaller.
Yeah.
So to your equivalent of when you're smaller, you're still
way the same. But I'll be able to fit into different clothes.
You'll be fitting into all clothes because I could put you in a pocket.
Boom.
But then you could get crushed easily.
Nah.
And I'll throw you at people because it'd be hilarious. Don't throw little bit of Mike.
A little bit of Mike. Little bit of
then you see Mike.
Everybody gets a little bit of Mike right now.
Don't do this.
Everybody gets a little bit of Mike, he says. Every time I shake someone's hand, DNA.
A little bit of Mike.
You pull them in close and you're just
And the thing people don't understand is it's the suit isn't what
the suit isn't what makes him small.
Yes.
The suit is just it's more like a breathing apparatus. It's more like a spaceman suit.
Yep. Yeah.
So he can breathe in that smaller environment.
And it doesn't kill his body when he
obviously
goes
trying to breathe larger molecules, being such a smaller thing,
would destroy you.
Go read Micro by Michael Crichton. He explains it very well.
Science.
But it's the little discs that make you the little discs that create a field that make you either bigger or smaller. Yep. Yeah.
And anything caught in that field gets that way, so that's why he can wear the suit. And the suit isn't putting his body; the suit isn't shrinking his body. The little piece on his belt is generating that field around him. That's why he can hold things, make them smaller with him, because it goes inside the field.
Yeah.
Just like when he took the tank, it was on the keys. They're like, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why isn't it? You know,
why isn't it weigh this
exactly? It's because it does at its level. But if I shrink down 1,000 pounds to like as Joe said,
so it'd be 1,000 pound,
it'd be 1 pound. I could pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
So if I took a 3,000 pound tank, shrunk it down, 10,000 times its size down, it would weigh virtually nothing.
Yeah.
So I could put it on my keys. Same with the building, same with the human being. That's why when Ant-Man jumps on an ant, he doesn't crush the ant, because he would still weigh, 190 pounds or whatever Ant-Man weighs, or Paul Rudd weighs or whatever. He would still weigh that. That would just be useless, because he would be like, I can't go anywhere. But that's why he's able to jump and things like that, because his mass is different, but he's able to use his same strength because it's equal to when he was larger, just like an ant. Hence the name Ant-Man. And it's fake science, so we can make up whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah.
I do like the fact, though, that when the building shrinks down, a pigeon re-lands on the roof.
Yeah,
and he has to shoot away. It makes me laugh. I was like, he's going to take off the satellite dish if he's not careful. You get a glimpse of one of two villains, for sure. Maybe a second one if my thought process goes the right direction in saying that Lawrence Fishburne being in this is a villain as well. Because he plays a character who used to work with Hank Pym, whose alter ego is named Gigantor, whose ability was to go bigger. Not as big as Giant Man, but he was able to go bigger. And he looks to be working with Ghost, who is most likely the main villain in this here movie.
The fact that they've already shown, I would agree with
that. I think he's just helping do that, because something obviously went awry between the two of them. There's still no visuals in this trailer of Michelle Pfeiffer as the original Wasp. So we'll wait to see that. But there is a spot in this. Let's see if I can... Oh, that's the second shot of Ghost. She's on a motorcycle. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, you can see the glove again.
Oh, okay. That's dope, though.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. There's the van scene where they are big, shrink down, pop up, and throw the other vehicle off of him. I like the fact that through this whole trailer, every time you see Scott react to something that's different, like him, like them shrinking down, he freaks out. He pops bigger, and he's like, yeah, I'm still shocked. I'm like, dude, for a living, you shrink and grow to abnormal sizes. You shouldn't be shocked by any of this.
Yeah.
It's not like they're like, here's Ant-Man's suit. We're done working. Nah, man, he's working other stuff. I'm just going through pictures here. There's the super dope scene of Ant-Man, Scott growing to giant man sizes over what looks to be a boat or a barge of some sort, and you see people glaring at him. He's just water spilling out. It was so rad.
Did it look cool. like Japan to you?
No.
No? Didn't?
Oh, fuck, it does. I saw the picture of the boat. They look very Japanese.
Yeah.
I was going to call you racist, but that's a valid point. It's in New York, I think, Godzilla this time. Joke?
Yeah, that's what I was getting.
Actually, I think they're still in San Francisco, right? I think it's in San Francisco still, so that's obviously the Bay. Oh, there's Ghost.
Yeah, that's the picture I saw.
Because at one point you see the hand being changing its illumination because it goes invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's actually what Ghost looks like, showing the guys here. Obviously, a picture. You guys can't see it because you're not in the room with us as we're recording.
It's very Splinter Cell-y.
It is very much so, yeah. There's like five instead of three, but yeah, it's very, very similar to that, yes. It is a female this time. Comic book, it's a man. I enjoyed this car a lot because I guess who was being driving it. I'm going to guess, you guys can probably guess who's driving it as well. Michael Peña.
Yeah.
Who I hope is as good as he was in the first movie.
Is T.I. in this one?
Yes, all of them come back.
That's good.
Yeah. Police chasing. There's Michael Peña running away from his hot rod. Ooh, very tender moment. This scene here is a ship you see the rear of, again. The first time you see it in the beginning of the trailer, you see the engines. And this is obviously in the subatomic level because those are like microbes and shit running around it. I'm guessing this is them going to search for Michelle Pfeiffer's character.
Inside of whose body?
Inside of something, somewhere. And I'm guessing the scene we see earlier where the FBI are showing up and they have there's an open field and they have Hank and I can't think of the Wasp's name right now, Evangeline Lilly's character. I have a feeling that this is them searching for where she's at because obviously the realization that Scott was able to figure out how to go subatomic by turning the regulator off of it, going subatomic, killing or destroying. What are you looking for?
I just realized that those microbes on the side there, they look like they're called water bears. The technical name is tardigrades.
You're a tardigrade?
I don't think you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, those are the ones.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. They can actually survive in space with no air.
Are they carbon-based?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're like those lava creatures that I'm terrified of?
No.
Non-carbon-based life forms on our planet. Yuck.
Yeah. Can water bears live in space? Tiny invertebrates called water bears can survive in the vacuum of space.
Forever? For how long?
This quick little blurb, it doesn't say anything. It just says the European Space Agency experimented, has shown that the first known animals known to be able to survive in a harsh combination of low pressure and intense radiation found in space. That was 2008.
Shit. That's cool. Yeah. So I have a feeling that's them looking for her in the subatomic, because obviously I said when Scott did it in the first movie to defeat Yellow Jacket, he was able to reverse the technology by putting one of the grow discs in the regulator, turning it on, and obviously make him go the other way. And so obviously Hank knowing that it would be perfecting that technology more. And so they would get inside that vessel, be able to shrink down. And again, I'm guessing it was him. It could have been anybody else, but
yeah. What
I'm guessing is it's inside that building. He shrinks down. They take it with him. Cause in that picture you see, I think you can see the building with him. They're going to basically regrow the building in this big empty space.
Yeah.
Shrink down that vessel you see and then go subatomic into whatever it is they think. Cause obviously the ship they were on crash lands. She is thought to be dead, but now they know that she could have survived in there. Could have. I don't really know how she would have survived without food or water, that being that small, but you know, whatever. And then give her a little grow juice and boop, she's back to normal. Grow juice is a thing. The knife scene, as Mike said, is pretty fucking cool. It's just like dude's throwing knives, she dodges one, spins around, pulls her wings out, dodges the second one, and then runs along the blade and then jumps off the back of the other one. I'm going to guess punch some guy directly in the face as she grows to full size, delivering all that force and everything right into his dumb, stupid face. Then, of course, you have the moment Joe was talking about or elaborating on where Scott looks at Hank and goes, "You gave her wings," and then he says, "And blasters." And he's like, "I'm guessing you didn't have that technology for me." He's like, "Oh no, I did." Yeah. And then he's like, "Ugh." She looks so cool when she's like in her fight, like fighting. Nice. Her helmet's on, just fucking handling shit, and Scott's mm-hmm. over there like trying to figure out how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then she shrinks and throws a guy at one point in the kitchen. It was pretty fucking cool. I think that's everything for the. Oh, then the Pez dispenser scene where she throws the Pez dispenser out, hits it with a grow disc, and it damn near kills a guy on a motorcycle. But yeah, that's a Ant-Man trailer.
And the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ant-Man 2 and the Wasp, I guess. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom Lego sets have been announced and shown off, by the way.
I don't like those Lego sets.
Oh. No?
Yeah.
Not enough build?
You don't really build anything. You don't build the dinosaurs. Like,
there's some pretty interesting looking ones, though. Because there's some non-islandy kind of stuff. I'll pull it up. I'll show you the one I was looking directly at. Well, that's the Junior's one. The Junior's one. Where's the other one? Oh, they don't show the other ones. They only show the Duplo and the... Oh, no, there it is. Helicopter.
I guess you build a helicopter. It's pretty kind of cool. But.
Yeah, you have a little Jeep or a little thing. Spoiler, he's got an egg on him.
That's
on
why, like, Star Wars and, like, superhero movies are so much better for that, because there's
actual things, stuff that, you know, fantastical things that can be ships, built, whereas this here more looks PT-MTs. Like just their regular Lego copter, but it's been rebranded Jurassic Park.
Slap a different sticker on the side of it.
Yeah.
So
it's a pretty neat little helicopter, though.
I'm excited to see the next trailer for that, though.
So an actual story trailer?
Yeah. Because that first one looked rough.
Yeah. It made me think it was two different movies.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what's happening in any of this. And it's not, like, from what they showed us in the first one, is not what I thought leading after the end of Jurassic World we were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
This just looks like Lost World again. You know what I mean? Like, it should have just been called Jurassic Lost World, because it's like it seems like it's on a, like,
yeah,
it's like going to that other island, you know.
Yeah,
which, by the way, if you haven't read the books, I'm not gonna be like, oh, books are better. They are. It's drastically better, but you understand
Michael Crichton references.
Yeah, that's right. Show. You understand why it is a lost world, and it's not a lost world. It's a second island.
Yeah,
but that's where they breeded all the dinosaurs before they brought them to the park, because bred them, breeding them, whatever. But that's where they brought them over to. They brought them from the Lost Island over to the main island, because they wanted to be the park more, just the park and not the breeding grounds and all that fun stuff. Which in the second book is, there's some really intense moments in the second book that make the first book, like, there's parts of it are pale in comparison, because, like, when you slide into what ends up being a T-Rex nest, fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Fucking terrifying. Plus, they have these horrific machine, like, devices they have that they basically erect to, like, it's a miniature tower, so they can see around.
Yeah.
And they like stay in them, like little cameras. Like, this is not a good idea.
No,
I mean, being on the ground is probably not a great idea.
But being caught
up here, not so swell, because then
you're still within reach of other things.
I was like, you guys are not
little smart. Dinosaurs are, you know, you're away from the bigger ones. You know,
the bigger ones, you know, the ones that eat things.
You're like at eye level.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Happy has been greenlit for a second season.
Nice. Yes,
shocker. Prior to its season finale of season one tonight, as of recording, not tonight Friday, but tonight Wednesday. Mission Impossible trailer to be aired during Super Bowl, by the way. Mission Impossible Fallout, as it's called. So that's exciting. Do you guys watch the little clip of the stunt he did?
Nope.
So he had two major stunts, one that he broke his leg on, and then he did a helicopter stunt where he held onto the side of a helicopter, a real helicopter, while it was flying.
Something Tom Cruise would do.
Fuck you. I don't care. It's legit insane. I think he believes he's immortal at this point.
It's Scientology, I think he is.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, in his religion, he's got to be like one down from God in Scientology at this point.
He
might actually bypass Bradbury at this point.
Huh. So he is God in his religion. That's why he gets to do all these things. That's exactly how Scientology works, by the way, people. You can take that to the bank.
You can bet your last dollar on it. Sony's Venom movie. Sony's Venom movie has wrapped up filming. I did not realize. I mean, we talked about it, but I reading this earlier or yesterday or whatever it was, and they say the date October 5th. I was like, oh wait, no, that's. I know we talked about it, but that's coming sooner than I expected.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of you think this movie like, oh, Venom's gonna be a lot of CG and non practical effects, right? It's got to be like next year.
Yeah.
Nah, it's October. That's okay. Cool. All right.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Obviously, Black Panther in 2 weeks.
I did read a story on, I want to say it was The Nerdist, maybe Hollywood Reporter. I can't remember. Someone tweeted it out and read the link that somebody had a Black Panther pitch in the 90s.
Blade. Well, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, for Wesley Snipes. Yeah. And I thought it was funny because I've said repeatedly, like, Chadwick Boseman reminds me of a young Wesley Snipes, and like it would be kind of like that kind of swag and how he carries himself when Snipes was in his prime. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude, he totally could have been Black Panther. Like, the pitch sounded awful, but the casting was
spot on. Yep. It was funny. I was talking to when I was doing my Guillermo del Toro stuff on my podcast. I watched Blade 2 because obviously he directed Blade 2.
Right.
And I started texting with Ken from the comic shop. What's your favorite Blade storyline, you know, from the comic books or whatever? And we were going back and forth, and I had texted him and was like, yo, have you noticed like the Blade we got in the movies is so drastically different from the comic book, but no one seems to pay attention to that? Like, it's just awesome. And I never read and then he's like, I don't think anybody's really read any Blade books. And I was
I think that's the problem. I haven't either.
I was like, oh, I think that's actually the point, is the people who did watch those movies have never read it, so they're like, this is super dope. I'm like, oh. And then Blade never really has this like longevity that you see in books. He does Black Panther up until like most recently, which is a shame because both the characters are fantastic. But he even brought the point, like, you can pinpoint story arcs because they're full on starts and ends. They weren't like in the middle of this, like in between this story arc and this story arc, there was this one. It was like this one, and then months went by, and another one came out, and months went by, and this other one came out. I was like,
that might be a better way to do comics these days.
I think it is. The problem is with big superhero books, DC and Marvel both, because they're so they're so intertwined that you need to keep them running. So what they do a lot of times, especially DC, does this. I wouldn't say as good as Marvel does, but they do it more often. Is they go big Batman story, big Superman story, big Justice League story. And in the when you get to the Justice League story, you have like a big Wonder Woman thing and a big Green Lantern thing that have to do with that. But now they're doing like, hey, Wonder Woman has her own big thing, but it's not as still not as big as the boys, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What Marvel does is they go away from they don't go just Avengers. They do Fantastic Four has stumbling points just like the movies have. It just can't keep going because it's so bizarre. And a lot of science-y stuff, you know? But you have like Spider-Man has a big event. And then you have this lull, and then you have like a big X-Men event, and then you have a big Avenger event, and then you have this big crossover where everybody comes to play.
Yeah.
But DC doesn't have all those different ones. They just have one big unit. Like, they're all the same, you know? They're all in one big place. But Marvel, their shit is everywhere. That's one of the things that frustrates me about Marvel so much, is like, I really want to read all these Spider-Man ones, but just like Batman, there's all these different Spider-Man books out. Now there's less of them. But then when you get to a main event, nothing that you've done over here has anything to do with this.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
so it's better at this point just to pinpoint your story arcs that you want to read. Yeah. You know what I mean? And just get the trades at almost.
Yeah. And that's what I've been doing lately, too, is I'm like, yeah, I'm done collecting the main
ones. Do you have any Blade runs anywhere? Or is it all locked up
in there? It's in there, yeah.
But no.
I have Ultimate one.
Somewhere. Really? Let me borrow that shit.
I think it's...
We'll find it off there.
I might have one in here, too. I can't remember. I probably have a couple. But they didn't... Like I said, they didn't really do a lot of those ones. You could have, like, Dracula's Tomb, which is one of the best ones. You have... the one that didn't do as well, and actually I don't think ever officially came out, is they were going to pit Blade and Morbius together. But like at like against each other in a way, because obviously he's a vampire and Blade's out to kill all vampires no matter what. And they were gonna have to team up together for something, but they never actually ended up being a thing.
That would've been kind of cool.
Yeah, would've been pretty dope.
Write it.
I'm in it. Let's do this. so much more. Dundee, the Son of Legend Returns is coming out, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, but that trailer they released did look like a really...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Commercially? Like,
it's definitely a commercial or a short.
But they even have a website talking about it. Like, they have a website, like a Dundee movie website you can go to, and it talks about how the movie's being made, and then the fact that the movie, air quotes, is being made by the same company that made the originals, Rimfire Pictures. I was like, this is just one super elaborate fucking commercial. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking maybe it might be like a 15-minute short or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Because like, they have like pictures of them like on filming sets, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Well, they added more... I think the article said famous Aussie actors.
Oh, yeah. They added Margot Robbie, Lisa Fisher, Hugh Jackman. Yeah. Liam's in it at one point, Logan. Which is baby Thor. I said Hugh Jackman.
Logan's
Canadian. Get your shit together.
Yeah, but...
This piece of shit.
That's Australian-Canadian, though.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing.
I'm pretty sure it's a thing.
It's a thing, though.
Moose snakes. That's what you get.
Moose snakes?
Moose snakes.
Moose snakes.
In Australian Canadians.
Wow. At some point, I think that's offensive.
It's Australians. It's fine.
And Canadians.
You know, if anything, it'd be more like moose kangaroos or moose.
Moose-a-roos?
No, snakes. You watch those nature shows? The snakes in Australia are scary as shit.
Yeah, everything in Australia is scary as everything. Shit.
Yeah, but could you imagine a moose snake, motherfucker?
The
animal will
kill you. The plants will kill you. The water will kill you.
Would be the worst thing.
The environment will kill you. They have four different types of poisonous sand.
He's like, what?
He's like,
poisonous sand.
Sand, what? Isn't all sand poisonous? Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's all the news.
Especially if there's moose snakes out there.
So are they moose that have snake like venom in them? Or are they
listen,
like,
I don't have time to explain this to you.
Are they big snakes with like antlers? I'm
literally just
thinking
like little snakes with little antlers.
Is it? Wouldn't it be big snakes with big antlers?
Big snakes.
No.
Like anaconda size big?
Like.
No, they'd be little
snakes. Moose heads?
They'd be they like moose little heads? Snakes with antlers.
But legs, though.
No legs.
But that's legs. A lizard.
No, man. They're hairy.
You find me a picture of a all moose right. snake. Don't show me a picture of your dick.
I'll put little legs on it.
Yeah. Little legs.
And antlers.
And antlers. Well, the antlers are always there.
I'm Googling super glue that's safe for skin so I could make this happen.
I'm going to glue... antlers to my
moose
dick.
Snake antlers to the head of my dick.
He's gonna find moose snake antlers and then he's gonna put them on his dick, because otherwise moose antlers would be too big. Hello. I mean, if you find moose snake antlers, can't you just find a picture of this moose
listen
snake?
It's already a foregone conclusion, it's going on my dick, so let's make this happen, guys.
Mike's next tattoo.
That is the actual words Mike said to Jen on their honeymoon.
Look, it's already on my dick. Let's go.
It's already a foregone conclusion. It's going on my dick. What was it? Tune in next week, everybody, because this has been this episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I'm Cody, and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Sorry about all the late dick talk.